Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Well, good to be here.
All right. So on episode 593, we started off this little two-part
series. Do you realize how many episodes this has been? We're like an old couple now. That's what we are.
Yes. I am trying to get you, Todd, and I together for episode 600 because...
Dude, that'll be awesome.
Yes. It'll be fun to... to have the chaos of whatever that episode becomes.
Let's get together in a room. That would be always fun. But yeah, you live in a different country now. You can't even leave your country. You have to quarantine for like a month in a big fancy hotel at your own expense.
Yeah, what, $2,000?
It's crazy. They made all the news over here. It was on the news over here too. It's crazy.
Yes, it is. All right. So on episode 593, we introduced this little mini series on how we can... what it looks like to revitalize a church plant, right? Words that we typically don't use in the same sentence, but especially in light of this past year with COVID, a lot of church plants will need to revitalize in some way or fashion. So if you haven't listened to episode 593, be sure to go back and listen to that first, because that's where Ed talked about the first two steps. I don't know if you want to call them steps or first two R's.
Yeah, first two R's.
Reframing grace and realigning mission. So on this episode, we're going to talk about the next three. So why don't you get us started, Ed?
Yeah. So let me say reframing on grace. So we don't want to redo grace, okay. But we're reframing very on grace.
That's good.
and realign on mission. So for sure. So beyond that, I wanted to kind of three other things that sort of came out of that. One is recast the gospel vision. Again, it's not dissimilar from the beginning where we talked about grace, but you know, part of the idea, of a gospel vision is on the grace of God. It's understanding God's at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And I think there's a whole movement sometimes called self-gospel-centered, but I think all of us need to be gospel-centered. And so a lot of it has to do with, this is a place too where your evangelistic passion comes out, right? If you're just talking about the gospel in your church, but never your neighbor, you're doing it wrong. So it's taking that gospel vision that shapes us, that that is more than simply some vague understanding that, you know, somehow people need to know and follow Jesus. But the gospel, I think our friend J.D. Greer puts it that the gospel is not just the diving board of the Christian life. It's the pool or something like that, he says, but it's the whole thing. So I think ultimately us being agents of gospel mission, having that gospel mission that changed us, you know, it's not getting saved and then getting to work, getting over the gospel. Instead, we walk in and dwell in the beauty of that, consistently showing and sharing the love of Jesus and living out the reality of that. That Philippians 1:6 vision, again, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So I would say recasting the gospel vision, because here's what we find too, just evangelistically, it's more than this, but just evangelistically, that over time, church plants become less evangelistically impactful. And when they do, they get busy, right? So they're busy doing other things. So we've got to intentionally make the time to recast that gospel vision, the gospel mission, and more.
Yeah, love that. And it's interesting, even in the next two R's that you're going to be walking us through, none of these five R's are talking about the practicals, right?
The
practical
side, which was not the point of the article.
The nuts and bolts. Yeah.
Yeah, the point of the articles was to look at the theological, the missional, the gospel-centered. Keeping in mind that I am not anti the practical. I've written whole books on, even in Comeback Churches, which is my best-selling church. It wasn't like a best-selling. It was the best-selling church revitalization resource I wrote. Somebody's got to say best-selling and people think you're on some list or something. I didn't make a list except Donna's list. Donna said that was a really great book. You know, she liked it. But I would say that, so I'm very much for the practical, but I think ultimately that when you rush to the practical without doing your theological, biblical, and missional homework, you end up just maybe creating new patterns and problems that you got to undo later on as well.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe just new wrappers around new what rappers it was
around
before.
Around a stuck and stagnant situation, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Okay, so reframing on grace, realigning mission, recasting vision, and then the next R is remembering the journey.
Right, recasting gospel vision and then remembering gospel. The journey. Because sometimes it's easy to remember that, to forget that, that this is, church planning's hard. Sometimes we say it's a long, hard slog. And so remembering the journey means that we're in this together, right? Part of the challenge when you plan a church is that, man, it's just all, we talked about before about how church planners get drunk with the vision. That's a Sean Lovejoy phrase. And I think that's so good. And then you go out there and it starts to make progress and maybe it's going well, maybe it's hard, maybe it's a mix of those two things, but eventually you're going to find yourself at wit's end. You're going to find yourself struggling and stagnated, and you're going to find yourself trying to figure out how to get through it. And you got to remember the journey. It's not a destination. It's not a completion. It's a journey. And if you remember the church planting and now the church journey, I really think you got to answer the question at some point, when do you stop calling yourself a church planter? And I think that's at 3 years. So at 3 years, you're not a church planter anymore. You're a pastor.
There you go. It's on record. It's on the air. You're going to have people starting to quote you now.
Exactly. Well, I just think at that point, and that's for me, one of the reasons you'll notice my pattern is I tend to leave the churches I plant at about 4 or 5 years in.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So I would say that, you're going to have to just deal with the reality that you are a church. And as a church, and here's the thing, you could do what I do, which is leave. That's been my pattern. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but gosh, I don't think I've ever been in a church for more than 5 years, 6 years, maybe. Plant another one. And now I'm the interim is what I do now. So interim is the perfect job because it's like, I was the interim at Moody Church for like almost 4 years, but that's very unusual.
I don't know if interim can and 4 years goes together.
Yeah, I know. It is a little strange. I think I was, was that longer than, no, I guess I've been at church plants always longer than that. I think ultimately you have to own and embrace that you're on a journey with people. It's not a plant. It's a family. Change your metaphors. Right, it's not a plant anymore because plant is a metaphor, and it gets planted in soils of lawlessness, and it grows, and then it becomes a family. And you want a growing family, you want a healthy family, you want all those things. So you have to change the metaphors, and that's the key part when it comes to remembering the journey.
And what I love about that note in particular is you often think of a church plant and being like, but we don't really have that much of a journey. We're not that old. I'm thinking of my church here. I mean, we're 100 years old this year, and we're focusing on multiplication moving into the future. But I mean, there's a lot of journey to remember in 100 years, but for 2 years, for 3 years,
that's a long time relationally for people. I mean, think about,
That's right.
I've lived here for 5 years. How long have you been in Edmonton?
Coming up to two.
Yeah. So 2 years, 2 years. My guess is you have built close, endearing, abiding relationships with several people during that time.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And that's an established church, right? So step into a new church where it's a smaller group, smaller circle of relationships. So yeah, you're now on a journey with people. And, again, change the metaphors. Plant to family. This is our family now. Now, again, I recognize a plant's a family and a family's a plant. But my point is your primary metaphor, probably what you're doing is planting. And now you're journeying with a family as you're at the second and third and fourth year.
Yeah,
and, I think good. At some point I would love to do, we've never really done this. Years ago, there was a thing called 2 to 5. And I think it was Dave Page that did that, if I recall. And it was basically resources for church plants in 3 to 5. Well, I got to tell you, there's a word for that. It's called being a church. And so Dave just helped people to move into actually being a church and revitalizing and getting a new sense of mission. I wonder if those are still out there on the interwebs. I'm gonna check and see. But I love Dave Page. I see him when I'm at Saddleback. So he's out there now.
That's good. Yeah, I know we've talked about that in the past with new churches and all that. But yeah, you're right. It is just being a church. So,
yep, that's what you call 2 to 5 is being a church.
All right. Hey, so before we go to the last R, which is renewing all things, we're just going to hear a quick word from our sponsor for today. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders: Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's B-E-L-A-Y solutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. All right, so the last R, renewing all things.
Yeah, so I think the last thing, that's a theological term. So people will recognize renewing all things, and they'll sort of get a picture of what that means. How does that work? And so theologically, Christ is going to bring all things under his authority, under his subjection. All things are going to be renewed. But the point that I wrote in the article was not trying to embrace all of those things, right? But we're asking, how's God at work, right? And constantly asking, how can we celebrate the gospel even more? How can we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit even more? How can we share the gospel with people who do not know it even more? And when we begin to renew and see the renewal in the life of our journey, our family, our community, then that's, you know, one of the ways that renewal is evident and at work in us. So that's kind of what I was going for, was the idea of renewing everything is in the life of the church, because ultimately Christ is going to renew all things. And so why don't we just kind of mark that or match that pattern here and continue to be a constant church in a sense of renewal and more.
Yeah. So if you're sitting down for coffee with a church planter who is 2 to 3 years in, and now is coming out of COVID and realizing that, hey, I do need to do this revitalizing thing. And they've listened to these episodes, Reframing on Grace, Realigning Mission, Recasting Gospel Vision, Remembering the Journey and Renewing All Things. And they're like, yes, okay, so I get that. I don't really know where to start. Do I just do this step one, step two, step three, four, five, and then get to the nuts and bolts of some of the other method pieces? Or yeah, where would you suggest that they start after listening to these two episodes?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, to kind of look through and ask some questions, it's an older book now, but Comeback Churches, even in Comeback Churches, I sort of walk through some of these things at the beginning. I really want to start with biblical, theological, and missional. You're going to hear that phrase over and over again, biblical, theological, and missional. These are renewal. So if you just go to organizational renewal, you're going to not get the full, the full re-engagement that you're called to. Think in terms of, you know, there are a lot of rewords in the Bible, you know, like, reconciliation, renewal. Well, I want you to be re-engaged. I want you to be refreshed. I can use a lot of rewords, right? But I think at the end of the day, this is gospel work. This is Holy Spirit work. This is theological work. And you've got to take those things in account as you walk through revitalization. If you don't, then what happens is you just get a better structure and you don't deal with heart issues, you don't deal with spirit issues. And I want you to deal with all of those issues, because all those issues matter.
Love it. Love it. Well, thanks again so much for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. If you have a question that you'd love for us to address on a future episode, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send that voicemail in.
What is that? So thanks again for listening. On your mobile device. Yeah. Like anything, a phone?
Yeah. Or a tablet.
Let's just say a phone. Who uses a tablet? Do you use a tablet for stuff like this?
Yeah, sometimes.
You're so much more technological than me. I don't even know. I mean, it's a generational thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Thanks again for listening in.